Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
New York's fan, Sports Radio 101.9 FM, and Sports Radio 66, WFAN.
All right, welcome back on The Fan. A little after 8:30, I think. Yeah, just after 8:30, as a matter of fact. Ed Coleman, Sweeney Murdy. We go until 11 here on The Fan tonight. Jerry DePoto was on with us a little while ago. We bring in a former general manager in the major leagues and now with MLB Radio as well. You know him very well. The Duke, Jim Duquette, joins us. Duke, Ed Coleman, Sweeney Murdy here on The Fan. How are you?
What's going on, guys? How are you? Thanks Good. For having me.
Good, yeah, Jimmy. Thanks for joining us, man. I know you've been keeping busy because you're still doing the radio shows. SNY still putting on some programs every night. So you've been keeping busy. Are you happy to finally get something real and more tangible to talk about as rosters come out and schedules and we got a real game to talk about perhaps?
Oh, man, it's been a long time, hasn't it? It feels good, though. I got to tell you, we talked so much about collective bargaining. I am done with that. I mean, I felt like I got a course in it, just from how much we had to discuss it. I mean, it thankfully they leaked some of that stuff, so we had stuff to talk about. As you guys know, I mean, if they didn't leak that, what would we have talked about? Wouldn't have been much.
Hey, that's going to serve you well next year when we go through it again. How about that, Duke? Yeah.
That is true. I'm going to try to get a certificate from Cornell. They have a class up there.
Oh, man.
That's funny because, I mean, I was telling Eddie before, you know, we paid attention to this stuff because that's all there was to pay attention to. I think, you know, in years past when you've had bargaining sessions, I mean, they all happened while games were being played or while the rest of life was going on.
Yeah,
nothing else was going on, so we had to pay attention to that.
We really did. You know what's, I mean, you guys lived through that 94-95 year, and that, I mean, it brought me back to my front office, you know, days and years because, you know, that was when we were going through the strike and the lockout, that's all we talked. I mean, besides trying to field a really bad replacement player team that we had, the characters that were on that team, we spent a lot of time talking about it and trying to figure out. You know, I mean, obviously we were on the owner's side and front office side. I found myself more on the player side this time around.
No kidding.
The owners had several missteps. My goodness.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think a lot of people probably felt the same way in general, Jimmy. You know, you probably have sorted through some of these 60-man rosters at this point. And I think, you know, we expected a lot of pitchers. I think that's what we've seen. But have you seen any trends, anything that surprised you out of all this, what you've seen thus far?
Well, I think what I'm seeing – and I hadn't seen the Mets yet. There's some that hadn't submitted them. I don't know if the Mets have released them.
Mets are still not there, haven't. No.
Okay. So, but what I've seen, and I was pleasantly surprised to see a lot of these teams taking their top prospects, whether they have a chance to help the Major League club this year or not. I mean, I was curious what Jerry DePoto had to say, but I talked to him a couple weeks ago, and he was pretty adamant that he was going to give young players an opportunity, but even some of the young players that, you know, weren't going to be on the Major League club, they don't want to lose that year of development, and so to bring them around, have them around the Major League, you know, even if it's the taxi squad in, you know, a AAA facility, it's better than the alternative, which is nothing, you know, sitting at home. So I saw Tampa, Kansas City, Seattle, they had about 15 or 16 of their top prospects And that's what I had hoped that we would see with a lot of these teams, and I'm glad they're doing it.
You know, it's funny you say that, Jim, because, looking at the Yankee roster, they did not do that at all.
Right.
They included, Davey Garcia and Clark Schmidt. Those guys were in spring training. They didn't bring any of the recent draftees like Anthony Volpe or Sigler or, Dominguez from the Dominican Academy. They didn't bring any of these guys. Is this, it seems to me like they're just focused on guys who can impact the big league roster this year with a chance to win, not necessarily gain extra development time.
Right, and I think that's the teams that are in the mix, like the Yankees. I didn't see the Dodgers yet, but when you start looking at some of those, I think you will see. I think there's a way to do both, and maybe the Yankees decided not to do it. I mean, they had seven catchers. They're not going to need that many catchers, mm-hmm. but Cash is so good at building. I mean, it's almost the way I looked at it was if you're building this 60-man. Roster, it was almost like building your playoff roster, except obviously a little bit more than that. But you want to make sure you have enough players to choose from when you're going to submit your playoff roster. Obviously, Yankees are going to be right in the middle of having to do that in a month, hopefully. And so it's like you better have every option that you can imagine, right? You better have, we might carry three catchers. We might mm-hmm. carry, 18 pitchers. I mean, there's just so much planning back and forth, and I think Cash is one of the best at doing that. So, I think that's what I believe when you look at that, what they did, that was the thought process. And I think you're going to see that with some of the really, really good teams.
I was saying to Sweeney, Duke, that, when we were talking to Jerry about Kelenic, and Kelenic and his ceiling, he's there with them. But and I'm not as familiar with the American League as the National League, but I was running down the outfielders, and to me, I mean, I think if the kid has a good 3 weeks here or whatever, he has an excellent chance to be on this team. And this is, a 2018 draft choice. I think he might be that good.
He is that good. I tell you what, when we were in camp there in spring training, and we had a chance to talk to him, and Jerry, I've had a long relationship with Jerry, so he'd give some stories that maybe we didn't have on the air. We'd sit and talk to him for another 20 minutes or so, and one of the things that stood out with him was, even in his struggles, I think there was a game where he struck out like three times in a major league game, and he was up for the fourth time, and he was looking how he's going to react. He struck out four times in the game, and he said, and this is what we do as evaluators. You guys do it too. How is he going to respond and react the next day? Mm-hmm. And he ends up getting two hits the next day, and just making that adjustment, which is, that's an advanced player does.
Right.
But you never really know when he's this young and doesn't have that much experience, professionally. So mm-hmm. it was really. They were so high on him, obviously, but they're going to play their young players. There's no question on that.
We're talking with Jim Duquette, SNY, MLB Network Radio, former executive of the Mets and the Orioles. Jim, I have a really hard time, as much spring training baseball as I've seen, I have a really hard time believing what I'm seeing in February and March.
Right.
My eyes just aren't that discerning. I rely on the people who are watching it a little more keenly to tell me what they think as far as what it means going forward. How can you watch, if your job is to pick from these guys and pick your roster off the next 3 weeks, how can you make those evaluations?
I ask the same thing, Sweeney, because it's really difficult. And I think a lot of the teams, they were close to making putting at least 30, or so players together at the end, right when we shut down spring training. I talked to Scott Service of the Mariners. He said they were close to winding down their decisions. And I think for the most part, there are teams that were like that. So they have it, that's the starting point, I believe. And then, you're going to have, and along the way, you're basing it off of what they did in the spring. It's going to be hard to evaluate in these inter-squad games, whatever games that they're able to play. And so it's going to be a little bit of guesswork, but you better, that's where the depth comes in, right? So, you're as we've seen a lot of times, those first month, that first, let's say, couple weeks of the season this year, but that first month of the season, you make the best decision you think and then that roster turns over because guys get out of the gate slowly. I think the key this year will be you can't afford to go with a player for a lengthy period of time. That leash is going to have to be shorter because it's, you know, a sprint to the finish line. So any of these guys who that get out of the gate that they select, you better be ready. That next five or so that are on the taxi squad better be ready, because I think they'll go to them quickly.
Jim Duquette, our guest here, as we continue until 11 o'clock tonight, Ed Coleman and Swinney Murdy. You know, I guess the general consensus, Jimmy, is that a lot of pitchers, we may see some shortened starts early, three, four innings as guys ramp up. But do you think that, with just, say, 11, 12 starts for, your aces, your big guys, that they might ramp up a lot quicker and go deeper than people might think ordinarily early in the season?
Boy, that's a good question, Ed. I do think that I've talked to and heard a lot, Torrey Lovello as an example in Arizona. He's expecting his pitchers to be able to go six right out of the gate.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems like a lot, but I think that, a lot of these guys have been ramping up in their own ways to try to get ready more than they normally would, in a similar circumstance. Hey, listen, July 1st, July 1st originally was the target date. Mm-hmm. For people to try to be ready. If you remember, even the Indians had told their players that. So they've been doing it to some degree. A lot of live batting practice, from what I'm told, with some of these pitchers. So I do think that they'll be careful in certain cases. But if the guys are ready to go, they'll let them do it. I guess the last part of that is, if you were going to carry 13 pitchers, those final three or four spots might all be pitchers, there might be three pitchers and one position player. I think you're going to have to protect yourself.
Yep.
Jimmy, getting back to the depth of these rosters and how they're including some of these top prospects, one of the things that people always talk about to see how a player responds as he moves up the chain is, let's see how he reacts when he sees that third deck.
Right.
Let's see how he reacts when he sees the full stadium. Obviously, that isn't a concern this year. Is it possible that you could get something out of these guys who haven't played above A or double A, that just have a lot of talent, obviously? Could they make an impact in these games because the surroundings aren't necessarily going to impact them the same way they would another time?
I think it's a valid point. There's still that added pressure that you put on yourself as a player, but it's not certainly not there with the animosity that you face in a visiting stadium. Going into Yankee Stadium is still, I think, one of the hardest venues to play if you're a young player, or any player, but if you're a young player too. So you would wonder about that a little bit. But I think it's a fair point. I think with the way some of these teams are structured, and you legit have 22 teams at least, I would say, that have a chance to get to the postseason. If there's a young player that's ready and can help them, right out of the gate, you saw Tampa, the Rays with Wander Franco. He's the best prospect right now in the minor league. The kid can really play. I remember asking Eric Neander, their general manager, about 2 months ago, and he wasn't ready to say that he was gonna help their major league club. But then we talked to Kevin Cash recently. He's like, listen, if he's ready, and we need him, we'll bring him. And I think that, that's where mindsets have changed while you're sitting around looking at, over the last 2 or 3 months and realizing that this is going to be such a short season. You're not going to take anything for chance. You won't worry about the service time nearly as much. And what is it? You only have to be active, I think, or down in the minor leagues for about, a week or so, maybe less than that. It might be 6 days to get a full, less than a full season of service time, The GMs like to play with the service time. I never did that.
Oh no, you were always by the book.
Never did that. But I think that you look at that and you go, all right, well, percentage wise, a week or so, and Joe Adele with the Angels, will be on the team, and players like that are pretty darn close to being ready.
Jim Duquette, our guest here, does when you try to get to the end of this season, I mean, nobody knows, it's unknown territory, but does the travel part worry you, Duke, that this sport will travel much more than, say, the NBA and the NHL?
The travel does worry me, and I wasn't really thinking about it as much, but I kind of thought that, let's say, if you're coming from you know, let's say New York or Boston, you're coming south down to, you know, down 95, and you would just kind of go, I don't know, Philly, Baltimore, D.C., you know,
yeah.
keep
yeah.
on
yeah.
going.
Keep going,
hope,
yeah.
I don't think that's going to happen. You know, it's hard to, or just kind of mix it in that way, or maybe even like five or how about six game series, so you're not traveling there a second time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, that's the other thing. I was kind of scratching my head, like, geez, that. Mm-hmm. I know they call it, well, you're nitpicking, but to cut down on the travel, I thought, geez, if you're playing Baltimore six times this year in Baltimore. Play them all at once.
Yeah.
Why do you have to come back again?
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. So
I
don't know. There was some head scratching. Just, and I haven't seen all the schedules, but those were some of the things that I was kind of scratching my head on. Mm-hmm.
I like how you put it in an article by Tyler Koeppner in the Times this weekend. I kind of thought the same thing. The idea of, you know, we're all trying to figure out what a 60-game season means and how it can be legit. But imagine that you woke up on July 24th and you were in a five-way tie for first place.
Right,
and
right.
Every division is that when you're basically starting the season. I think it's a good way of just using your imagination to try to get through the 60-game season.
Yeah, well, and listen, I think we're all hopeful that we're going to be able to play all 60 games, right? I mean, there's some serious concern and doubt about that, but right now, let's enjoy the moment and enjoy the thought of you know, this type of pennant race, because you know, I mean, we can all find occasions in our years in being in baseball when you looked at a team, you're like, man, how the heck did this team end up in first place by mid-May? You know, and then of course the length of the season evens it out, and you know they end up where they should. Well, this is, you know, if you're sitting here mid-May and you're in first place, you got a good chance of finishing that thing out and going into the postseason. And so, you know, I expect two or three teams that we didn't really think could make it to get into the postseason that way. I think it's exciting. I don't like it, because I still think the best team should be in the postseason, but I think you'll see that even out probably in that first or second round of the postseason.
Yeah, I mean, do your favorites stay your favorites? I mean, usually, during the course of a season, one injury could be long-term, but it's not catastrophic because there's always time to recover from it. Do the teams you think are the favorites still remain the favorites, or is everything up in the air?
Well, I still think they stay the favorites, but the advantages that they had, which was you know, depth in the roster and really good starting pitching, it doesn't help as much anymore. You know, that advantage gets muted a little bit, I'll tell you, the teams that, like, Toronto's a dangerous team, man. Let me tell you, they get the kid Nate Pearson, who, you know, they were going to have to wait to bring up because of innings limits, and, you know, he's a young pitcher, throws about 100 miles an
hour. Yeah, saw him in spring training, yeah.
Oh, my God, 6'7", right-hander. Well, now it's like, all right, take the training wheels off, put him in rotation, pitch him every sixth day. And, you know, if you're facing him on any given day, you haven't seen him before, this is not an easy bat. He has a chance to be a top-of-the-rotation starter down the road and impactful this year. So, you know, Toronto's pitching is a lot better. We all know the young players that they have offensively. So, you know, teams like that you know, can really give you fits in that division when you maybe are like, you know what, at some point we'll catch them on the downswing and roll right through them. I don't know. You can't really say that, you know, this year.
Jim Duquette, our guest. Jimmy, you know, we all have habits and routines, ball players even more so, and they'll have to break some of those. You know, we've talked about a little bit, tobacco, sunflower seeds, wet rags for the pitchers, those kind of things. But do you think the 3 weeks leading up the second spring training will kind of get them set for the season, or do you think this is going to take even more time?
You know what, I think it's, Ed, I think it's the definitely at home you can get yourself into a routine. What I wonder about is, you're still going to have to go on the road, and it's a little different routine on the road.
True.
And, you know, that's going to take a little bit of getting used to. You're not going to have any road games in spring training. So, you know, I think you know, that part of it is to be seen. I also wonder this. I mean, you know, the teams have talked about spreading out the roster and having different, you know, periods of time of guys working out. You know, that ability to work out together that you it's so important, you know, in any for any of these the teams. You know, you're not going to have that except for, you know, moments for the inter-squad games. It doesn't sound like so. I'm really curious what the product on the field is going to look like at least the first week or so. We might be surprised, but I mean, you know, having a regular cutoff and relay. I mean, when are you going to work on that? You got to do it sometime.
Yeah,
but the you know the guidelines don't really suggest that you should. So you know, I'm curious how you know teams will have to handle that. They'll all handle it a little bit differently, I'm sure. But it is kind of curious how many you know how much of that fundamental work will you actually see.
I think a difference that you're talking about too about road games is just getting to the ballpark about routine. You know, usually you have two buses, 3 o'clock and 4 o'clock, and by 4:15 everybody's sitting in the clubhouse ready to go. Now you've got to have six bus trips spread out so that you can spread them out on the bus with enough distance. I mean, just the idea of getting to the ballpark at a specific time, that routine is thrown out the window.
Yeah, right. And usually, you know, I mean, guys get there early, right? Now,
yeah.
I mean, it's supposed to get there until 5 hours before the game, I think it is. And so, yeah, that plays into it. You know, places that you are used to going to eat, and we all have restaurants that we know when you're on the road. Oh, I'm going to hit this restaurant for lunch, you know. Well, yeah. Is it even open now? You know, you don't even know. And are they serving, you know, is it something that you can order?
Well, I don't think you're allowed to. I think everything is in the hotel.
Pretty much in the hotel, yeah.
So you can't even go out. I mean, that's the other, you can't even go out and get yourself something. I mean, again, are guys going to adhere to those rules? I mean, I don't know. I would hate, you know, when I first started out in my professional front office career, I was in charge of curfew every night in spring training. Imagine trying to chase these guys around, making sure they're staying in the hotel. I don't know.
I've heard some of your AJ Burnett stories. They're kind of fun.
I have some good. I have some good ones. I got some Jason Isringhausen stories.
Oh God. I got one of those too. I think I'll hold that one as well.
We got to save those, Eddie. Save those for some time when we have a vaccine. We can have a beer.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I just had a thought too. How about the bus driver in New York who's going to make six bus trips from Manhattan to either Citi Field or Yankee Stadium? Think about that poor guy. My God.
Seriously. I mean, I don't want to be that guy. No way.
Not a chance. It's pitchers ahead of hitters early on just because of, probably general rote. Yeah.
I think so. Yeah. I think what's interesting, though, is, you know, so a couple hitting coaches recently have spoken to, you know, Kevin Long. We know he's like, you know, first day for us, we are going to face live batting practice. We're going to face velocity. You know, they got the pitching machines that they'll be cranking out. They're going to get them, you know, looking at breaking stuff. So I think it won't be maybe as much as we might think. You know what I mean? I think they're going to do as good a job as they can to you know, face velocity. The issue, you know, is like, you know, there's that part in spring training where you start facing other pitchers and you start feeling better. You know, and it's whatever week left in spring training. Usually, you know, you're starting to ramp up here when you're facing off against your own guys. It lacks that feel. So it's really going to have to. It's going to take an extra attention and focus for the hitters to make sure that they're getting their reps as best as they can, and trying to do it in these facilities. You know, which I, you know, ideally, you would be better off in spring training. You can go in the backfields, get as many at-bats against pitchers that you want. And I think it's going to be hard to do, you know, in these facilities. They're just not made for a lot of reps on the field.
Yeah.
We had an interesting question from a caller last hour. Do managers get a free pass during the 60 games?
No. I don't think managers and general managers that are on the hot seat are going to get a pass. I really don't. I mean, I'd be very curious. There's a few GMs that are on the hot seat, and I think there's a couple managers, but mostly GMs here recently. I don't think they're going to get. I don't think they're going to have a free pass. Listen, San Diego, that's one spot that they're. You know, AJ Preller has put together some really good prospects, but they haven't won yet, and they're spending a lot of money. They're having financial issues. If he can't free up money, or if they can't win, I don't know how he's going to be able to survive, as an example. So I think there are certain situations like that around the game that
Even in season, Jimmy? Do you think in season?
No, I don't think in season. Okay. I don't think in season. I think that part would be too difficult. I mean, here's the thing. Remember the Braves a couple years ago? Freddie Gonzalez was manager. They got off to that just horrid start, right? And they made the change. If there's a team like that that, you know, gets off to a really, really bad start, you might see a change. But I would be surprised otherwise.
Yeah, well, San Diego is interesting because there's a lot of push and a lot of buzz about them too. That this, may be one of the teams that you don't think about that has a great chance in a 60 game season. You know, so and if they fall short, somebody might pay for that, Duke.
No question. I think I mean they're one of those teams that they're dangerous, right? They've got the young talent. They have this year they have a really good bullpen. I think those teams that have really good pens, Yankees, Rays. Padres, Brewers, the depth, and Mets have good depth bullpen wise. You know, those because of that, what I think will be some shorter games. And by the way, I think those games where you're in the 18th straight game without a day off, and the manager's like, you know what, this guy in the mound's going to have to suck it up and take the loss tonight because I got to save my pitching. You can't afford to do that this year.
Right.
You can't give away any games. So I think, that part of it will be, I think the advantage, in those cases will be the teams that have, six or seven or eight deep. St. Louis is another team that, seven or eight good relievers in addition to their starting five.
Jimmy, thanks for all the time tonight.
Wealth of
knowledge, and we'll get some of those stories chasing prospects around Florida at all hours of the night. We'll have to do that. Do we have to do that off the air? Is there any chance we can do that on the air?
You know what? Occasionally the details creep out on the air. we can talk about it.
All right.
Thanks,
we'll
Jimmy.
We'll be watching on
Nationwide.
We'll listen to MLB Network Radio.
Stay
thanks so much.
You guys. See you.
Okay, you too.
All right, bye.
Jim Duquette,
always, he was always very good as a general manager. I don't think you'd play favorites and give away the stories, but he would help steer you in the right direction every once in a while.
Yeah.
I remember a couple of winter meetings where, he just, like I say, he didn't give anything away, but he just made sure I wasn't turned the wrong way.
You were pointed in the right direction, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Okay.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.